Our study tonight is out of Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1 to 13, and then verses 21 and 22, learning to heed God at the third level of His discipline. God is a gracious God. He's also a consuming fire, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. So He's a God who's to be revered and to be obeyed. God to be loved, but a God to be respected. So after He has repeatedly disciplined us for sin and we still fail to heed Him, though He is gracious, He will intensify His discipline even more sharply, warning us to repent as follows. And sections A and B are basically review, but I have to review to understand what's going on in Leviticus chapter 26. We before learned that Leviticus 26 is written as a vassal treaty format with a section on blessings for obedience, and an extended section on cursings for disobedience. In the ancient Near East, they would have these vassal treaties in which a lord would promise to provide protection and sustenance for his vassals who served him, providing the vassal obeyed him and heeded him and so forth. And God utilized that format, that treaty format, for Israel. God was the Lord, God was the master, Israel was a servant. And so they were supposed to obey God. Now, we also learn that heeding the law would bring rain and rich harvests, according to verses 3 through 5 of the chapter, peace and dominance over enemies, verses 6 through 10, and the gift of God's presence, that would be His fellowship, in verses 11 to 13. Now, likewise, there would be extended divine discipline for disobedience. That's what verses 14 to 39 are all about, where God would bring five increasingly painful levels of discipline for continued disobedience. Bible teachers and scholars have long referred to these as the five levels of discipline or the five cycles of discipline. If you might have heard somebody talk about it, didn't know what they were talking about. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of it. But I remember hearing this years ago, and I found out that they're dealing with Leviticus chapter 26. So tonight we're dealing with the third level of discipline in Leviticus 26, 21, and 22. And let me just read those verses. Leviticus 26, verses 21 and 22. And if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild animals among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. Okay, that's upping the ante. First level, second level, the third level is much more intense. And it keeps going that way, the fourth level and finally the fifth level. Israel was at the fifth level of discipline during the Holocaust and so forth. But the Bible actually predicts that in Leviticus chapter 26, and we'll get to that in 2 weeks. But anyway, God warned that if Israel kept failing to heed Him as the third level of discipline, He would intensify His discipline seven times, bringing wild animals to kill their children and livestock, making them few in number, and their highways would become so dangerous that they would be abandoned. Now, samples of this discipline occurred according to Judges chapter 5, verse 6, in the days of Judges Shamgar and Jael, in 2 Kings 2, 23 to 25, in Elisha's day, and in 2 Kings 17, 24 to 27, in Samaria, after the fall of Israel to Assyria. Now, we view that first, the discipline that came in the period of the Judges, Shamgar and Jael, of empty highways due to Israel's domination by foreign invaders for not heeding God, and how God rectified it. First of all, I want to turn to Judges chapter 5, verse 6, that tells us that this actually occurred. This is in Deborah's song. This is sung after the defeat of the Sisera, of the Canaanite, by Deborah and so forth. But notice what she says in verse 6. Of chapter 5 of Judges. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. So that was actually fulfilled in the early part of the Judges. Now, when Israel cried out to God in repentance for turning from Him to false gods, and we know this from Judges 2, 11 to 12 and 14 to 18, He sent Shamgar in chapter 3, verse 31 of Judges to slay 600 Philistines with an ox goad, and then the wife of Jael to kill Canaanite general Sisera when he entered into her tent to hide from Israel's forces. There's a very interesting account that occurred. Deborah had tried to get Barak to lead Israel's forces to defeat the Canaanites under the Canaanite general Sisera. And Barak says, I'll go if you come with me. And this demonstrates the men were basically afraid in those days. And she, as a woman, was judging because no man apparently dared take the job. So she said, I'll come with you, but if I come with you, you will not have the honor of killing the general. A woman will. Well, as it turned out, Israel started to defeat the Canaanites, and Sisera, the captain of the Canaanites, rushed into the tent of Jael. Now, Jael was in league with his king, and Jael's wife was there, and she invited him to come in. And she gave him some milk to drink, which would make him kind of drowsy, and he was tired anyway, so he went to sleep, and he lay down. And he lay down with his head turned sideways, so she took a tent peg and a hammer and hammered the nail tent peg through his head and pinned his head to the ground through the temples. Pretty crude, but very effective. And so a woman did have the opportunity of killing the man as a result. So that's what happened. God used the wife of Jael to kill Canaanite, the general Sisera, when he entered into her tent to hide from Israel's forces. Now the second discipline came in the day of Elisha. And God punished young men who mocked God and his prophet's ministry, and that by furious female bears who came out and mauled them. Let me turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and following. Second Kings chapter 2, verse 23. And Elisha went up from there unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth... Now, the King's English says little children. A better translation is young men. We believe this was a whole organized horde of young men who were actually training to be prophets of Baal. And they were going to make a move on Elisha and possibly try even to kill him. And they were going to start off by mocking him. And they came out of the city and they mocked him and they said, Ascend, thou bald head, ascend, thou bald head. Now, what they were doing here... mocking the fact that he had claimed that Elijah had ascended to heaven. They didn't believe it. So they said, and Elijah was the one who had called fire down from heaven at Mount Carmel to defeat the prophets of Baal. And so that would explain why these people were critiquing. So they said, ascend. Let's see you ascend. Now, apparently, there were at least 42 of them that were killed by the bears or mauled by the bears to death. So there was apparently a horde. It was an organized effort to go after the prophet and also to eradicate the worship of God. So, verse 24, he turned around and he looked upon them and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two female bears out of the woods and mauled 42 of the young men. Some have said that a female bear who thinks that she has been robbed of her cubs has a worse attitude than a lion. She will do anything she can to inflict pain. Because they think, and apparently the Lord used these two bears that came out. And these bears are very fast, and they're very angry, very powerful, and they mauled 42 of them to death. And this was punishment on them. Then, verse 25, he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Why did he go to Carmel? Carmel is where he returned to the place where Elijah had overcome Baal, and he made a recommitment to live for the Lord and to uphold the worship of God versus Baal worship as a result of this event. So let me just read the notes here. After Elijah ascended to heaven in a whirlwind, many young men, evidently threatening Baal worshippers, organized as a mob against God and Elisha, taunted Elisha to ascend to heaven as Elisha had claimed Elijah had done, mocking the reality of the event and of Elisha's call to replace Elijah as God's prophet. See, they're not only mocking the prophet. Through mocking the prophet, they're mocking his God. So that's something that is absolutely unacceptable. Elisha then, to protect God's testimony and his own calling, Elisha cursed them, and God sent two female bears enraged as if robbed of their cubs to maul 42 of these young men, these young, apparently, prophets of Baal. Elisha then went to Carmel, where Elijah had defeated Baal worship in God's name to renew his commitment to that stand against Baal and for God in line with the work of the she-bears. Now, the third discipline that came on the people who settled Samaria after Israel fell to Assyria. Discipline for a lack of respect for God And God used lions to correct this. 2 Kings chapter 17. Now, I grew up in Nigeria, West Africa, where lions were not so much of a threat in my day as they were back in the 20s and 30s, but they were a threat. Lions normally do not kill human beings. Lions stay away from man. They normally like to stay out in the wilds, and they'll go after hartebeest or zebras or something to kill them. But if a lion gets old or maimed, and he can't kill animals for food, as a last resort, he will go after human flesh. Apparently, lions don't like human flesh that well. They will eat human flesh if they can't find something else. And once they go after human flesh, they'll keep going after humans because humans don't fight back as much as a hartebeest or something like that. So once an animal has tasted human blood, hunters have to get after the lion and take him out. Otherwise, he'll just keep killing human beings. So this is a real threat. When Israel was defeated by Assyria, the Assyrians brought in many foreigners to intermarry with the remaining Jews, and the resulting mixed race lived with no respect for God. We're in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Ava and from Hamath and from Shepharim and placed them in the cities of Samaria in place of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and they dwelt in the cities thereof. And apparently he brought them in to intermingle and intermarry. This is where the Samaritans incidentally came from. They were half Jews and half Gentiles. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not revere the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them which slew some of them. Now, this is in fulfillment of Leviticus chapter 26. Wherefore, the people spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, "The nations which you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the manner of the God of the land. Therefore, he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they do not know the manner of the God of the land." So the king of Assyria commanded, saying, "Carry there back one of the priests whom you brought from there, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach the manner of the God of the land." Now, unfortunately, when this priest came back and taught them the will of God, the people listened to God. They also saw the false gods over here, and they mixed the two. And that's where you have the Samaritan worship. It's a hybrid. It's a synthesis of the worship of God and the worship of idols. So that's why when Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, he says salvation is of the Jew, not from you. You have the wrong theology. But he and grace are still reaching out to this woman who was a product of this very apostate group of people. So, God sent lions to kill so many of them that a Assyrian king sent back a Levitical priest from captivity to teach the people God's ways and to end the killings by the lions. Now, killing by bears and lions is very, very severe. I mean, it's not pretty. But this is what God will do. This is the type of discipline to which he will go if his people do not pay attention. So when Israel repeatedly sinned against God and his messengers, he caused them to fear the main highways and to be killed by wild animals until they revered God and respected his messengers. So if unusual trials occur, may we review our ways to see if we must repent of persistent sins, especially of repeat idolatry or of the disrespect for God or the calling and ministry of his messengers. I've used this illustration a number of times before. In one of the cities in California, who had created problems for every pastor. It was a Baptist church that he was in. I think he was an elder or something. And every pastor that came through, he had made life miserable for him. And so the pastors would quit, leave the ministry or leave the church. Finally, one pastor came in. And he said, "I haven't done anything wrong, and as long as I'm serving the Lord rightly, I'm going to stay." He decided to stick it out. And this man went after him. This man that had troubled pastors went after him. So he was critiquing him and making life miserable. But suddenly this man, who had made life miserable, he's about 30 years of age, came down with a very severe heart attack and ended up in the hospital. The Lord was disciplining him for what he had done to that pastor and the pastors before, and he begged the Lord to salvage his life. But in a few days or weeks or so, he died anyway. And everyone in the church became convinced because of this man's own testimony that the Lord had taken him because of what he had been doing. He'd been doing this for a long time, but the Lord didn't move until the messenger of God stood his ground and said, "Look, I'm going to serve the Lord." And So this is something that can still happen today. We need to be very, very careful. I've heard of two other cases where three other cases that I've heard of in the ministry where this type of thing has happened with a party. So it's very serious, and we need to pay attention to the Lord.